As you already know, we're going to Hebrews chapter 11, starting in that first verse. I get to talk to you guys. And I'm going to read that verse again, just to refresh our memories. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, in the very first verse, God says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This morning we're going to look at what faith is in our continuing effort to investigate the very basics of Christianity and what it is to be a Christian. I mean, all these sermon series that we're going through look at the very basics. And this is a basic thing, faith. We'll be looking at 4 points of what faith is. Faith is taking God at His word, 1. Faith is knowing that, 2. 3, faith has 2 sides. Did you know that? Faith has 2 sides. And 4, faith is paradoxical. Sometimes it doesn't make sense sometimes. Okay? Now, faith is the substance, and I want you to think of it this way, the title deed of things hoped for. Your faith is your title deed to eternal life. Just as a title deed is evidence of real estate, so your faith is evidence of your eternal state in God. And to give you some applications about that, what faith is. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18? Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. I still hear pages turning, and I will wait for everybody to get there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 18, "So we fix our eyes on what is... We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." To give you a case in point, I'm going to take everybody back a little bit, and we all have this one incidence in common, okay? And we exercise faith in this incidence. When we left, did we know where we were going? No. If you remember that Sunday when we walked, we had no idea where we were going. But we stepped out in faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit who said, "Go." I don't know about what you, because I don't know your minds, but I know that morning when that incident occurred, I wasn't following Pastor Rich. I was following the Holy Spirit. I was stepping out in faith. So that gives you kind of an idea that you have done extraordinary things by stepping out in faith. You didn't know where you were going. You had no idea. But God knew. For some of us here, we had been members of that church a very long time. And even though it was scary, we all stepped out in faith and followed God to a new destination that He had for us, which we now call the Heart of Christ Church. And we are still on a journey, for we have not yet reached that place that God is preparing for us, was a temporary place. Faith is taking God at His word and asking no questions. How often do you do that? How often do you ask questions? God, why is this going on in my life? I don't like this. It hurts. I'm uncomfortable. It's annoying. How often do you ask that? Can you imagine a life filled of faith is taking God at His word and not asking any questions and just moving on through your life and going, okay, Lord, what's going to happen today? How often do we do that, truly? I would like to read you a story. It's not a very long story, but I'm going to use the story of this gentleman to make points along the way as we go. All right? Justin, who was not called martyr until after his death, was a young pagan philosopher who lived about 100 years after the crucifixion of Christ. This is a time of severe persecution for Christians in the Roman Empire. Christianity was illegal for two reasons. First, emperor worship was required by law, and Christians absolutely refused to burn the required pinch of incense in front of the emperor's statue. And second, Christians preached that Christ's kingdom would soon be established. This alarmed the Romans. They feared that the Christian kingdom would threaten the Roman Empire. Justin knew of the Christians who had been beheaded or thrown into barrels of boiling oil for refusing to say the words, "Caesar is Lord." Though not yet a Christian himself, he was deeply disturbed by the persecution. An inheritance enabled Justin to travel throughout the Roman Empire seeking truth. Wearing a threadbare cloak that marked him as a philosopher, he would ask questions such as, "Can a man really know God? Can you really have the longing of your soul satisfied?" One of his encounters is with a Stoic teacher who believed that virtue is the important thing. "Don't just seek God, seek virtue," urged the Stoic. Another teacher said, "I will teach you the truth for a fee. Still another teacher said, "Justin would first have to know astronomy and geometry before he could be taught." I bet you our students would love to hear that in school. Virtue, money, knowledge. If Justin had to acquire these in order to know God, he might never satisfy his soul's longings. Discouraged, he tried a Platonist philosopher. "If you flee the world," this sage told him, "you will become like God. Slough off the bodily imprisonment and return to the world of pure spirit." Justin tried to control his bodily desires, but the emptiness was still there. All this time, he kept observing Christians who were dying for their faith. Obviously, they put a high value on their way of approaching God. This intrigued Justin, but also puzzled him. He just couldn't accept their belief in a crucified Savior. One day he went for a walk in a field near the Mediterranean Sea, not far from his home in Ephesus. As he walked, he noticed a bearded old man. Justin looked at him intently, and the old man, aware that he was being watched, said, "Do you know me?" "No," Justin answered. "Then why do you look upon me this way?" Justin answered that he simply hadn't expected to see anyone in this place. "Why do you walk here?" asked the old man. "I have come to think and to exercise my reason." The old man asked, "Do you think philosophy brings happiness?" Justin answered in the affirmative. The old man dug deeper. "What is philosophy, young man?" Justin answered in the standard definition, "Philosophy is the foreknowledge of reality and the clear perception of truth." Happiness is the reward of such knowledge and wisdom. The old man asked him, "Well, what do you call God?" Justin answered with another stock quote, "God is the changeless cause of all things." God is the changeless cause of all other things. And the old man asked, "Then can one know God without hearing from one who has seen him?" The old man went on to say, "God can only be discerned by the mind and then..." Justin said, "God can only be discerned by the mind and then only when the mind is pure and well disposed." "Young man," the old man said, "I refer you to teachers more ancient than the philosophers, teachers who spoke by divine spirit and proved themselves by their predictions and miracles." The old man continued, "Pray that they will open the gates of light to you. You cannot know these things by your understanding. You can only know them by the man, the Messiah, to whom God has imparted wisdom." Justin never saw the old man again, but he kept thinking about this conversation, and he began to study the Hebrew scriptures and to read the letters and gospels circulating in the empire. And then he began to talk with Christians about their faith. It's kind of a long story, but I wanted to give you a background of how he got to where he is. Justin became a Christian and dedicated his life to traveling all over the Roman Empire as a Christian philosopher, telling people the truth. In Justin's day, Christians were thought to be atheists because they didn't worship the emperor. In his first apology addressed to the Roman emperor, Justin said, "Christians are not atheists. They worship God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The state has nothing to fear from them. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. The empire has no better subjects than the Christians. Look at the changes in their character and their lives since they have left the service of demons. They pay tribute, give to the poor, avoid swearing, and love everybody." Inevitably, Justin was arrested and brought before the chief judge of Rome. According to the record of his trial, he was told to obey the gods and submit to Caesar. If he did this, he would be released. Justin told the judge that by obeying Christ, he had done no wrong. The judge only sneered. Justin continued, "We believe in one God and Jesus Christ, his Son." This interested the judge, who asked Justin and the others on trial with him many questions about their faith. Finally, the judge asked Justin, "If you are scourged and beheaded, do you believe you will ascend into heaven?" Justin replied, "I know and I am fully persuaded of it." At this, the judge lost his temper and ordered him to sacrifice to the gods. Justin refused. "We will kill you if you don't," said the judge. Justin replied, "Do what you will, we are Christians. We do not sacrifice to idols." And so Justin and his companions were put to death. Justin, martyr, is remembered today as one of the greatest of the early apologists or defenders of the faith. He wrote two apologies and a dialogue that remain classics in Christian literature. That was kind of a long story, but I had to give you a background of Justin Martyr. Faith. In his entire life, he exercised faith. So what is faith? We're dancing around this question. I've given you a lot to think about. Faith is knowing that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Faith does not believe that all things are good or that all things work well. It does believe that all things, good or bad, work together for the good of them that love God. In the story I've just read to you, looking at it from a human perspective, it was good that Justin had an inheritance, he had money, he could travel around looking for wisdom, looking for truth. This happens all the time in our culture. There are people who are looking for truth. They have funds, they can do it. But where is truth? How do we find truth? Once Justin found that ultimate truth, he placed his faith in it. Good or bad, no matter what happened, his faith was firm in those truths. So when he was hauled before the judge, they said, "We're going to kill you. We're going to throw you in boiling oil. We're going to cut your head off. We're going to do all these terrible things to you." The faith that he had learned from the Hebrew Scriptures and from the New Testament, it actually wasn't compiled yet, but the letters that he read, he placed his faith in Jesus Christ and said, "Whatever come may, I don't care what happens. Do to me you what you will. I will not give up." So from a human perspective, everything went bad in his life. As soon as he accepted Christ and put his faith in Him, things went downhill. From a Christian perspective, things went uphill. Our faith helps determine our perspective. Faith has two sides. One side has to do with the intellect, your mind, how you reason with things. It is an intellectual conviction that Jesus Christ is God. You wouldn't know Jesus Christ is God if it wasn't for the Scriptures. We look at what happened in the Gospels. We see the evidence. We use our intellect to look at that evidence and say, Jesus did this. He fed 5,000. He changed water into wine. All this evidence is there. Only God can do such things. So our intellect tells us it must be that He is the Son of God. The other side has to do with will. Once your intellect reads the Word of God, the Holy Spirit places in you that kernel of faith. And then our will, we subject our will to God's will. What would you have me do, Lord? That is placing faith in God, that He knows exactly what your life needs. He knows where you're going. You're going to come out of, and you're going to go to the Heart of Christ Church. We're still living by that faith. We have subjected our will to God and spending time here in this auditorium, waiting, praising God, and knowing, absolute knowing by faith that God is going to provide a facility in His time. In His time, not our time. I mean, any one of us could lose faith in God and get up and walk out and say, you know, I'm not going back to that place again. But we've placed our faith in God, knowing that He's going to provide. And I don't want to use the word church because we're not going to a church. We are the church. He's going to provide a facility. And whatever that facility is, I want Him to pay for it. Because I never want to go back to a situation where any one of us can say, well, that's my church building. I paid for it. No. I'm placing my faith in God that He is not only going to provide it, He's going to pay for it. So that I can never, or any one of us can never glory in it and say, oh, that's our building. Let it be God's, because then He's going to take care of it. I have faith that He'll take care of it. So when you put the intellectual side of faith and you put the will side of faith, these two together, you have saving faith. Okay? Saving faith is that thing that we impart and we say, what come may, Lord, I am yours. That's saving faith. It's not worrying about what's going to happen in your life. I mean, we have to worry a little bit. You know, you still got to pay your taxes. You got to have a job. Okay, you got to do some little bit of worrying. But in the most part, you don't. Because God provides everything. Think about it. God provided the attributes in your life to do the job you have. And He placed you there. And if you're going to work and you have that faith, that saving faith, you know you're where you're supposed to be, so you're going to give out the gospel. You're going to tell the good news to the people around you. You're going to exercise your faith. Do you ever notice that for the most part, there's religions all over the world, okay? But the Christian, and they don't call it a religion, they say the Christian faith. Because we don't practice a religion. We're not practicing a religion. We're having a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. All those other things are just religions. They have rules to follow. They have all this other stuff. They put their faith in themselves. Oh, I've got to do good works. I've got to pray 7 times a day. I got to give alms over here. I have to do this. We don't have rules. We have a relationship. And that relationship is based on the faith that God has given us. And when you exercise your faith in God, when you step out of that comfort zone and you say, my faith is strong. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what God's going to do to me. I don't know what situation He's going to put me in. I may get nervous, but I'm going to go anyway. That's exercising your faith. And the more you do it, the stronger that faith will grow. And as I just started to tell you, faith is paradoxical. It doesn't make sense sometimes because through faith in Jesus Christ, some of us may go to a tribe in Africa with the possibility of being killed. Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody put themselves in harm's way for what most of the world can't see and doesn't understand? To go to a people who has never heard of this so-called God that we have a relationship with. That's the paradox. Our faith moves us to do things that most normal people wouldn't do. Can you imagine that? God using you. Because you're exercising your faith and sending you not only just overseas, but in situations that you wouldn't normally get into. Can you imagine talking to someone who's crying on the steps of a restaurant? Never saw this person before in your life. You're in a state outside your own state, and you walk right up and you want to talk to them. You want to find out what's wrong with them. Help them. Most people don't do that today. They run away from that sort of a situation. But we Christians, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because we exercise that faith, we love. We love. Faith. What is it? Now, I took all this information and I gave it to you. And some of you out there and your eyes are starting to glaze over. All right? I can bring this all down to you in a very short sentence, okay? And I want you to hear it. If you don't hear anything else in my sermon, I want you to get this one final point. Faith is not believing in God. Somebody's going, what did he just say? I'll repeat it. Faith is not believing in God. Faith is believing God. Do you know how many people I run into and I say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. And you look at their lives and they live their lives like God doesn't exist. Faith is not believing in God. Faith is believing God. What he says. Faith is putting yourself out there and saying, I believe God. He's going to do this for me. When everybody else around you is saying, nope, it ain't going to happen, you're nuts, you're off the deep end, somebody please call the Phil Haven wagon and cart him off. Okay? Sometimes faith is going to take you to that place where the only thing left inside of you is that voice saying, I believe God. Faith is not believing in God. Faith is believing God. When that realization came to me, I thought, oh man, that changes things. I can tell you, I don't believe in God. I believe God. That changes my relationship. That puts you on a personal level with God. That's where your faith takes you. Personal level. That's going through these scriptures, looking at the promises, looking at what God has said and going, I believe it. I stake my life on it. I stake my reputation on it. I stake my sanity on it and waiting for it. Whatever God would have you do or whatever He's going to bless you with, having the faith to be patient and go, okay, Lord, I'm waiting. And being happy about it. You don't want to be going, okay, Lord, I'm waiting on it. Hurry, come on. I need it. Let's go. Lord, where is it? Lord. No, it's joyfully and patiently waiting on Him. Now, next week, Pastor Rich will be preaching on the importance of faith. And if you would like to whet your spiritual appetites, you can read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, and prepare yourself for that sermon next week. Father in heaven, let us pray. Father in heaven, You have given us all, each of us here individually, a portion of faith. And Jesus said that if we had the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, that we could move mountains. Holy Spirit, I ask you energize that portion of faith given to each one of us, that we might step out and be cultural changers in the place that you have us right now. That we would exercise our faith in you, Father. Not saying we believe in you, but we believe you. I ask that blessing upon each and every person here. That we would believe you and act on it appropriately. Father, in all things, we're thankful for all that you have given us, especially our portion of faith, for it comes through you into our hearts, and we are changed by it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.